أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. واستفرغي الدمع من عين قد امتلأت من المحارم والزم حمية الندم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. وخالف النفس والشيطان وعاصيهما وإنهما ما حضك النصح فاتهمي. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. ولا تطع منهما خصما ولا حكما فأنت تعرف كيد الخصم والحكم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. أستغفر الله من قول بلا عمل لقد نسبت به نسلا لذي عقومي. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. أمرتك الخير لكن ما أتمرت به وما استقمت فما قولي لك استقيمي. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. ولا تزودت قبل الموت نافلة ولم أصلي سوى فرض ولم أصومي. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تقربوا الزنا إنه كان فاحشة وساء سبيلا. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Most respected elders and friends, mothers and sisters in Islam, all the people that are listening to this program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Last week, we commenced the summarized version of the second chapter of Qasida Burda. The second chapter is titled Man'u Hawa Nafs, to control a person's nafs, your desires. Exercise restraint and avoid fulfilling a person's nafs and desires. The second chapter of Qasida Burda has 32 poems. Last week, we did 20 poems. And inshallah today, we hope to cover up the 12 more poems inshallah. The second chapter of Qasida Burda commences with Allama Busairi rahmatullah alayhi painting a picture of a very, very old man. There's wrinkles on his face. His hair is white. His eyes are sunken. His teeth are falling off. He can hardly hear. He can hardly talk. He's aware that his lifespan is short. He does not have much time in this world. He's conscious of death. He's conscious of standing at the court of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. But he, right towards the end of his life, he's still struggling with his nafs and his desire. And so he says, فَإِنَّ عَمَّارَةِ بِسُوءِ مَتَّعَذَتْ بِجَهْلِهَا مِنْ نَذِيرِ الشَّيْبِ وَالْهَرَمِ. My nafs ammara, that nafs that exhorts a person, pushes a person to fulfill his lust, his desire, it has never taken heed of his old age and his white hair. He's struggling with his nafs and his desire. He's seeking for help. He's desperate. And out of desperation, he calls out for help. And he says, مَلِّي بِرَدِّ جِمَاحٍ مِّنْ خِوَايَتِهَا كَمَا يُرَدُّ الْجِمَاحُ الْخَيْلِ بِاللُّجُمِ. Who is there to help me and assist me from my wild nafs, my rebellious nafs? I just cannot control my nafs. I just cannot control my desires. Who is there to help me and assist me to control my wild nafs, my rebellious nafs? It has become just like a rebellious wild horse. He goes out and he seeks for a spiritual guide. Somebody can help him. Somebody can assist him. After he identifies a spiritual guide then tells him just one advice. فَلَا تَرُمْ بِالْمَعَاسِ كَسْرَ شَهْوَتِهَا فَإِنَّ الطَّعَامْ يُقَوِّي شَهْوَةَ النَّهِيمِ. He says, the spiritual guide tells him, whenever you have this desire, whenever you have this feeling of committing guna, fulfilling your passion and your desire, your lust, whenever that feeling comes into you, then do not give into your nafs and your desire. Because that is an unending avenue. Your nafs will ask for more and more and more. And the nafs of a person, it is just like a very big eater. He eats and he eats and he eats and he's never satiated. And he eats until a point that an overeating could be detrimental to his health. Likewise, keep on fulfilling our passion and our desire. It is detrimental to a person's ruhaniyat. Detrimental to a person's nafs. Then the spiritual guide presents three characteristics of the nafs. The nafs is like a breastfeeding child. An-nafsuka tifl. In tuhmiduhu shabba ala hubbir radha wa in tuftimuhu yanfatimu. He tells him, the guide tells to him, to his disciple, the nafs is like a breastfeeding child. If you're not going to wean the child, then it's going to keep on asking for the milk and it become a youth while drinking milk. It will never eat healthy foods. Second characteristic of the nafs, It is like a grazing animal. وَرَاعِهَا وَهِيَ فِي الْأَعْمَالِ سَائِمَةِ وَإِنْ هِيَ اسْتَرْعَتِ الْمَرْعَى فَلَا تَسُمِي. This nafs, it is like a grazing animal. You got to control it. Which pasture it's going to graze and till what portion it's going to graze. You're going to leave it open to graze wherever it wants to. It may start grazing in a wrong field, in somebody else's field. And then the third characteristic of the nafs he gives, and he says, this nafs is a cheater. It's a fraudster. It's a thief. You need to be careful and guard yourself against him. كَمْ حَسَّنَتْ لَزَّةً لِلنَّفْسِ قَاتِلَةً فَلَمْ يَدْرِ مِنْ حَيْسُ أَنَّ السُّمَّ فِي دَسَمِي. He says that how often the nafs, it beautifies wrong and evil things. We know something is wrong. We know it is haram. Rationally we think we know that it is something that is prohibited, but it looks so attractive to the nafs, you cannot even see the poison behind it. And it is just similar to somebody giving you meat, it looks so attractive, but there's poison inside that meat. Today, we commence from that portion, where the spiritual guide, he now gives three advices to the disciple, three advices to the murid. And he tells to him, وَاسْتَفْرِغِ الدَّمْعَ مِنْ عَيْنٍ قَدْ امْتَلَأَتْ مِنَ الْمَحَارِمْ وَالْزَمْ حِلْيَةً نَدَمِي. See that you know your eyes, your nafs, your eyes, your nazar, which you throw lustful glances at, these eyes of yours, whole life you kept on feeding it with the various forms and shapes of women. In the case of men looking at women, in the case of women looking at men, and fulfilling your gazes of the desires of the eyes, that very same eyes, you have come to that portion of your life, now shed tears from that eyes which you have fed it with that haram. Walzam hilyatan nadami, himyatan nadami, and hold firm to regret. The protection of regret. When you regret, then that is a thing that's going to keep you away from guna, and that is going to keep you away from sins. Then the second advice he gives him, and he tells, وَخَالِفِ النَّفْسَ وَالشَّيْطَانَ وَعَصِيهِمَا وَإِنْهُمَا مَحَذَاكَ النَّفْسَ فَاتَّهِمِي. Go against your nafs. Go against the shaitan. These are the two enemies. One is the external enemy, one is the enemy from within yourself. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reported to have mentioned, أَعْدَى عَدُوِّكَ أَلَّتِي مَا بَيْنَ جَنْبَيْكَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالْ. The greatest enemy is not the shaitan, that is that which is right within your own self, that your nafs. Go against the nafs, go against the shaitan. And even if the nafs and the shaitan, if it appears sometime to give you a very sincere advice, then to suspect the nafs. Sometime you think that you make a correct judgment, sincere judgment, honest judgment, but always suspect the nafs. Maybe what you are saying is wrong. Maybe with the advice that you are getting from inside, it is wrong. Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Sahab, Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali, used to always advise and used to say that even if a person thinks his nafs has become a farishta, the nafs has become an angel, then too you must suspect yourself. Never ever think that you are an angel. We've got a nafs, and the nafs got all its tricks with it. And then he goes on further to say, وَلَا تُطِعْ مِنْهُمَا خَصْمًا وَلَا حَكَمًا فَأَنْتَ تَعْرِفُ كَيْدَ الْخَصْمِ وَالْحَكَمِ. Sometimes the nafs, it comes in front of a person as a disputant. Like in a court case, you'll have a plaintiff, you'll have a defendant, and there are two people that are disputing. So sometime your nafs, between your nafs and yourself, your nafs may be a disputant. You want to do something, your nafs saying, no, 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 you have to do it. Or sometimes that your nafs will become like a judge. So Allama Busairi says, you know, your nafs sometime it'll present itself like a disputant, or the nafs sometime will present itself like a judge. Never ever trust the nafs, whether it comes in as a disputant or whether it can come as a judge. And then it further says that, فَأَنْتَ تَعْرِفُ كَيْدَ الْخَصْبِ وَالْحَكَمِ. You know, sometimes a disputant, how they come with all the type of tricks. When a person is making claim for certain things, then how we come with different, how we plans, plots, and how we present his case. You can't trust a disputant. And at the same time, you can't even trust a judge. Not every judge is fair. So you can't trust the disputant, you can't trust the judge. So whether your nafs can either come in as a disputant, or whether your nafs come as a judge, never ever trust it. And then he goes on further, after giving these three advices, this disciple, this murid, after getting these advices from the sheikh, from the spiritual guide, he now makes three comments. And he concludes with that. He's got enough advice. The advice that was given to him shed tears. He responds to that and he says, Astaghfirullah min qawlin bila amali. Laqad nasabtu bihi naslan lizi uqumi. Sometimes I seek forgiveness of Allah. Sometimes I claim to have done something. So I seek forgiveness of Allah for claiming to have done something which I did not do. Sometimes you take credit for something you didn't do. And should I do that, then it will be just like attributing a child to a barren woman. A woman is unable to give, a barren woman unable to give a child. And then she claims that the child is hers, where she is not in a position to even give birth to a child. So if a person happened to do, claim to do something, good deed, virtuous deed, taking credit for yourself, that is just like a barren woman claiming a child for herself. And then he goes on further, he says that, أَمَرْتُكَ الْخَيْرِ وَلَكِنْ مَأْتَمَرْتُ وَمَا اسْتَقَمْتُ فَمَا قَوْلِي لَكَ اسْتَقِمِي. He himself says, this old man himself is saying, that you know, whole life, I'm been telling other people, do this, do that. Telling the people to do good, stay away from wrong. أَمَرْتُكَ الْخَيْرِ. I've told you to do good, وَلَكِنْ مَأْتَمَرْتُ. It is very unfortunate that I told you to do good, but I myself did not do good. وَمَا اسْتَقَمْتُ. I told you to be steadfast. فَمَا قَوْلِي لَكَ اسْتَقِمِي. So what is the point of me telling you to be steadfast when I myself was not steadfast or doing the correct and the right things? And then he concludes with just two poems where he's completely regretting. Any time he's going to leave the world, any time he's going to go into a qabr, any time he's going to go to akhirat. And now, at the last point he says, وَلَا تَزَوَّدْتُ قَبْلَ الْمَوْتِ نَافِلَةً وَلَمْ أُصَلِّ سِوَى فَرْضٍ وَلَمْ أَسُمِي. When a person takes a long journey, he has to take provisions for himself. And imagine if a person happened to go on a long journey and some small important thing he forgets, how he's going to regret? Imagine long arduous journey, thousands of years we're going to be in the qabr, millions of years in the akhirat, unending. For such a long journey, I did not take provisions. When we travel in this world, we take our provisions with us. And here for such a long journey, we did not take any provisions. So Allama Busairi, that old man, he says that, وَلَا تَزَوَّدْتُ قَبْلَ الْمَوْتِ نَافِلَةً. Before dying, I did not take my provisions by doing anything to get close to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. All I have done is that, وَلَمْ أُصَلِّ سِوَى فَرْضٍ وَلَمْ أَصُمِي. I only led my farz namaz. Month of Ramadan came, I fasted. But extra nafil namaz, nafil roza, anything to get closer to Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, all that I have not done. This completes the second chapter of Qasida Burda. But just few advices. With today's poem, it commenced with, استفرغ الدمع من عين قد امتلأت. Allama Busairi speaks about the eyes. That how a person, he filled his eyes with lust and with desires. The greatest challenge for a person's nafs is his eyes. The lustful glances. That's the greatest challenge upon a person's nafs. The greatest force from all the limbs is the force of the eyes. It has an impact on every part of the body. When a person happens to look at something that is haram, in the case of a male looking to a female, or a female looking to a male, it's not only male look at females, female also looking at males, both of them throwing lustful glances at each other, that then travels to the brain. From the brain it goes into the heart. And from the heart it spreads everywhere else. It has an impact on different limbs of the body. Now, the ear wants to hear what the eyes have seen. The mouth wants to, the mouth should talk to what the eyes have seen. The hands and feet now want to walk towards what the eye have seen. And then from there, that's the beginning of every evil. A poet, Shawki, he mentioned and he explained the consequence of the eyes. He says it very beautifully in just few words. He says, "Another فَإِبْتِسَامٌ فَكَلَامٌ فَلِقَاءٌ فَمَوْعِدْ فَلِقَاءٌ." That the eyes is such, what does the eye lead to? You first look at something. A male look at a female, and probably you liked her, or she liked him. And then they exchange smile. After the exchange smile, now they try to meet up with one another. And then after that, every evil will take place after that. That is why Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala very clearly mentioned in the Quran Kareem, close all doors of zina. وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا. Never ever get close to zina. Allah doesn't only say don't commit zina. Anything that may lead to zina, even that is prohibited. Don't even get close to zina. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا. Not only zina, anything that may lead to zina is also immoral. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, our Creator, He knows us. He knows that what a male likes and what a female likes. A male is attracted to a female and the feminine qualities of a female. And a female, she is also attracted to masculine qualities of a male. It's on both sides. And that attraction, when the person gets caught in that attraction, then it's a very big fitna in itself. That's why Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Tell the believing males, lower the gaze. Don't feed your eyes with that stuff. Because once you feel it one time, now to deal with that feeling inside becomes very, very difficult. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْدُدْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. And tell the believing females, tell them also to lower the gaze and lower the nazar. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reported to have mentioned, Al-Ainan Taznian Wazinahuma and Nazar. The two eyes, they also commit zina. One is physical zina. And one is that something that leads to zina. The eyes also commit zina. Then Nabi Kareem has explained, how does the eye commit zina? Wazinahuma and Nazar. To throw a lustful glance on a woman, that is actually Nazar. Because it actually leads to Nazar. And further, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained in the same hadith, وَالْفَرْجْ يُصَدِّقُهُ ذَلِكْ وَيُكَذِّبُهُ. The private part, then that testifies whether you had looked with a lustful glance or not. If the private part reacts to your nazar, sometimes physically real the person commits zina, or sometimes that he must have fulfilled his passion, lust and desire, and the private part also reacts by the emission of certain fluids, that's a fact that you have enjoyed some kind of comfort and luxury through her, by throwing sight on her. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reported to have mentioned, An-nazar sahmun masmoom min siham shaitan. This is nazar, throwing a lustful glance. It is a poisonous arrow of the shaitan. Poisonous arrow of the shaitan. Allama ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi, commenting on this hadith, says normally when an archer, he throws a spear, then it wounds the attack, it wounds the target. But this is one spear that it attacks the archer before it attacks the target. Normally you hit the target. But here, the person that threw it, he himself is felt wounded. And therefore, it is very, very important that we look after our nazar, control our nazar. When I was traveling from India, I was coming to South Africa many years ago, maybe 30 years ago, with my Shaykh, Hadhrat Mufti Mahmud Hasan Gangohi, rahmatullah alayh. We were in Zimbabwe. It was at night. So, Hadhrat Mufti Sahib was sitting in front, I was sitting back, I think Maulana Ibrahim Pandu Sahib was also sitting there, a few other ulama were there. So the driver that we had was a very jovial person. So we were driving at night, and there was an oncoming car coming, so he dimmed the light. And then when that car passed by, he brightened his lights again. So he told to Mufti Sahab, just joking Mufti Sahab, that you know, that we have to dim our lights, because if we didn't dim our lights, then if this light is bright, the oncoming car's light is bright, then we probably will not be able to see it obscure the gaze, and we just meet an accident. So Mufti Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, being a spiritual guide, immediately mentioned that that is why that even when a man and a woman, they see one another, the eyes on both sides, the lights on both sides, you have to dim it also. That you also immediately to use that opportunity to make islah immediately. That just has two oncoming cars coming, bright light, so you this bright light, that bright light, what happened? Very big accident. There it will be a car, accident with a car. Here it will be an accident of the nafs. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reported to have mentioned, sometime by mistake, by accident, if you have to look at a woman, then if one time you look at her, don't look at her the second time. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reported to have mentioned, لا تدبع النظرة النظرة. One time you look, maybe it's mistake, don't look for the second time. The first one was a mistake, the second time when you're deliberately looking, that means you're feeling your nafs and your desire. And it's not going to stop at the second time, it's going to carry on, unending. And then, if you happen to look by mistake, and if the attraction of that woman have come into your heart, or in the case of a woman, the attraction of a man came into your heart, now contain yourself. If the love of something, attraction of something have come into you, now you should contain yourself. Don't pursue your nafs and your desire. Abdullah ibn Abbas had mentioned something very thought-provoking. And many, many people deal with this. Sometimes you look at someone, and then the attraction comes into your heart and your mind. Now you want to pursue it. And the pain is in you that I can't do it due to circumstances, due to conditions in life. So Abdullah ibn Abbas mentioned, but man ashaqa wa kaffa summa katama summa mata fahuwa shaheedun. If somebody had to look at a woman, or a woman happened to look at a man, and that attraction, that feeling that have come into the heart for the opposite gender, but you maintain your chastity, you maintain your nobility, you don't pursue your passion and a desire, and then you contain yourself, you hide it inside, you're living a life with pain, you can't get what you want, but you contain yourself. And if you die in this condition with that pain, but you did not pursue the wrong, you would die as a shaheed. Abdullah ibn Abbas mentioned, you'll die, that pain that you go through just to maintain your chastity and not fulfilling your passion and your desire, you die as a shaheed. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi mentioned a very thought-provoking thing. You know, when a person goes against his nafs and his desire, he kills his nafs and his desire, contains himself, such a person becomes a mustajabud da'wat. You know, sometimes when a buzruk comes, pious person comes, you tell him to make dua. You don't have to tell somebody else to make dua. You stay away from guna, you yourself become mustajabud da'wat. Your dua will be accepted by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And Imam Bukhari, as a point of, to prove this point, he mentioned that incident of three people that were stranded in a cave. They were traveling somewhere, and a huge boulder came and blocked the entrance of the cave. And now three of them decided they should make dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala through some good deed that they have done, that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will take them out of this difficulty and hardship. From the three people, one person said, oh Allah, you know I had a cousin sister. I loved her more than what a man would love a woman. And one day out of desperation, she came up to me and she told to me that I want some financial help and assistance. And I told to her on condition, you give me access to yourself. In other words, allow me to do haram. Out of desperation, she was a chaste woman. But when a woman is desperate, she becomes vulnerable, and out of desperation, she submitted. And when he was about to fulfill his passion and his desire with her, she just told him one statement, لا تفتح الخاتم إلا بحقه. The seal which is haram, don't open the seal, but with the rightful way, that is through making nikah. See, he exercised restraint. At that time and point, just about to fulfill his passion and desire, he withdraws from her and he moves away. He said, oh Allah, if I've done this for your pleasure, Allah remove us from this difficult hardship. The rock move even more. Imam Bukhari proves us from this point. When a person goes against his nafs, goes against his desire, that person, He invokes the rahmat and mercy of Allah in his personal life, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala makes him a mustajabud da'wah. His dua is immediately accepted. And pursuing our desire, our nafs, very, very dangerous, extremely detrimental. I recall many years ago, when I was at the Jamiat office, one very, very rich, wealthy person came up to me. He asked me for an appointment. I gave him time. He was sitting on the other side of the table, and then he told to me, "Mufti Sahab, you know who I am? Very rich, very wealthy peer person. People needed to take appointments with him." So he told me, "Mufti Sahab, you know that who I am? I needed to take an appointment with you. I had 75 cents in my pocket." And in those days, they don't have it nowadays, you used to use that other kind of phone, you should put the money inside the phone. So he said, "I used the 75 cents, I put in the phone, and then I phoned you up for an appointment. And here I'm sitting here by you. But I haven't got anything today. Multi-millionaire, all his money is gone." So I asked him, "Bhai, what happened with all your money? What happened? Allah bless you so much. How come you're a pauper today?" He said to me, "Mufti Sahab, you know, I heard the ulama saying, again and again, repeatedly, don't commit zina, don't commit wrong. Allah will take your wealth away, Allah will take your barakah away." And I thought to myself, what are these ulama talking? I've got this property and that property. I've got this investment scheme and that investment scheme. I've got so much of wealth that will be sufficient for my grandchildren and great-grandchildren. What are these ulama talking? And I carried on pursuing my nafs and my desire until here am I today, right in front of you. The last 75 cents, I spent it to come and have a meeting with you. And this is what, when a person commits zina, when a person commits do all wrong things, Almighty Allah Ta'ala takes away rahmat and barakat from that person's life. See, in conclusion, sometimes, you know, when people give advice and nasihat, then we tend to put it aside, thinking that that's that person's thought. Sometimes because of our immaturity, we don't take advices. And the example is just like that big fish and a small fish. One person was fishing, and he was using sardines as a bait, and the small fish went to nibble. The big fish told to a small fish, "Don't nibble, there's a hook behind that thing there, and that thing will hook onto you and take you out of the ocean. That's the end of your life." The small fish told to a big fish, "You jealous? I got something for myself. You're an old bully. Why you don't? I got something for myself. Why should I listen to you?" The bigger fish told to a small fish, "Listen to me. I wish well for you. I know this. You're going to be putting yourself into danger." Kept on nibbling. The fisherman on the top, he got a hook. He got a bite. And he immediately hooked that fish and he took it out. And the big fish is telling the small fish, I told you. And that's exactly behind every lustful glance, behind every guna, behind every woman, every haram action, there is that hook. There is that hook. You'll never know what is there. This is what Allama Busairi has mentioned. That, kam hassanat lazzatan lil mar'i qatilatan min haythu lam yadri anna summa fi dasami. You'll never know that where the poison is. Therefore, when somebody gives us advice, nasihat, solely for the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, keep away. Fight your nafs. Remember, we can never fulfill all our passion and desire. You look at one woman, she's beautiful. You're going to pursue her. Then another woman more beautiful than that one. And then the third woman is more beautiful than that one. And then the fourth one is more beautiful. Where is that one going to end? The same also go with men. A woman look at a man, he is good looking, she likes something about him, another man may be better than that one, and another man will be better than that one. Where is it going to end? Are we in this world to fulfill every passion and desire of ours? We are not here for that. Whatever Allah destined for us, be content with that. And we are here for an aim and objective. Not to pursue our nafs and desire. If you're going to pursue our nafs and desire, that turns out to be a good, like a sickness. And it is unending. As Allama Busairi mentioned, that it is just like a big eater that keeps on eating and never ever gets satiated. In conclusion, fight our nafs. One is that if somebody takes spiritual advices, take bayat with the sheikh, etc., ultimately it's left up to you. You yourself. It's left to our own self. We need to fight our nafs. We need to fight our desires. And we know what is wrong. Yes, you get a spiritual guidance to help you and assist you. But ultimately, we need to connect ourselves with Allah Ta'ala. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us this dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka tuqa wal huda wal afafa wal ghina. Allahumma inni as'aluka tuqa. Allah, I ask of you taqwa. Wal huda, guidance. Wal afaf, iffat, chastity. Wal ghina, and independence, independent of the nafs. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us another dua. Allahumma aslih sha'ni kulla. Allah, make my complete islah. Wa la takilni ila nafsi tarfata ayn. And never ever hand me over to my nafs for a twinkle of an eye. In takilni ila nafsi, takilni ila zu'afin wa dhanbin wa awra wa khati'ah. Allah, if you hand me over to my nafs, you'll hand me to something that is weak and will destroy me. And lastly, you know, I spoke about the three phases of life. You in your childhood, then your youth, and then your old age. And we carry on. Life doesn't stop anywhere. Likewise, three types of nafs. Nafs ammara, nafs lawaba, nafs mutmainna. Nafs that exhort us to do wrong. We shouldn't get stuck at that point. Like how our life, we're not stuck, we carry on. From nafs ammara, we must make our islah, bring ourselves to nafs lawama, reproach ourselves, condemn ourselves. That's a stepping stone for a person's islah. And then lastly, once you keep on making islah of yourself, you'll feel a contentment in your heart. That is the dua Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us. Allahumma inni as'aluka bika mutma'inna. Allah, I ask of you for itminan. Nafse itminan, nafse mutma'inna. Today we have all the means of comfort and luxury, but no nafse itminan. No nafse mutma'inna, because we keep on following our nafs and our desire. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq and hidayat to fight our nafs and desire. And Allah Ta'ala grant us His true love and muhabbat. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.